There are many New Testament passages that talk about local congregations of God's people conducting meetings in which they worship God and study His Word. And these meetings are intended for the good of the members and those in the community that we may invite, those who can attend. And what I want to do is, you can see on the sheet that's been passed down, I want us to look at this morning at some reasons why, whenever the local congregation is arranging a meeting for us to come and worship or study the Bible, why it's urgent for us to choose to be here. We understand there are occasional emergencies when circumstances may come up where it's necessary to miss, but we need to diligently try to avoid those hindrances and be here, if at all possible. And I want to emphasize this in connection especially with this special series of studies that we're having beginning in 3 weeks. We're going to apply it to our regular studies, our regular Bible classes and worship meetings. We're also going to apply it to this gospel meeting. And please consider with me then several reasons why, if at all possible, you need to be here whenever the church meets, and you need to be here as we attend in this gospel meeting. The first reason I want to talk about is simply that we want to worship and praise God. God wants us to worship Him. God wants us to come together to praise and honor His name. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, He says that He seeks worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He's commanded five different things that He tells us to do in our worship. We're to study the Word of God and pray. We're to sing, and on the first day of the week we have the Lord's Supper and the collection. These are things that God wants us to do. It's not just that it's kind of optional or a good idea. God wants us to participate and to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, if you look in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5 with me, we'll see how many of God's people He wants to participate in this worship. Revelation 19 and verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great." How many people does God want to worship Him? How many does He want to praise Him? The passage says, "Praise Him, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, small and great." Is this something for just certain Christians or certain people? It isn't just for the old or for the women. It's for everybody. The Lord wants everybody who seeks to please Him to be here. And so the Bible teaches the church to arrange meetings, and it teaches us Christians that we need to attend these meetings to accomplish these purposes. Now, some of these things can, to some extent, be done in our homes. Prayer and singing and Bible study should be done at home, in addition to our assemblies, but it should be in addition. It should be both. We need them both. We need to worship God at home, but we also need, and are instructed by God, to be with other Christians to participate in these activities. So private worship is not enough. We need to do it, but public worship is also not enough. Enough, it takes them both. We're emphasizing this morning in particular the need to be here when the church meets. And we should want to do that. This should be something that we desire to do. We should come not just because we feel obligated to do so, but because we see the value of what's happening here. Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38 says that the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We should love Him for lots of reasons, but above all, and we've often emphasized, because of His Son, because of Jesus who died on the cross, because of the sacrifice that the Father made in sending Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus made, and we've just talked about in the Lord's Supper. We just remembered in the bread and through the vine, that sacrifice. That shows us God's love. And our response should be to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Sometimes people have the attitude, well, I don't have to come every time the church meets. Or show me where I have to come. But my question is, if you really love God, if you really appreciate what God has done for you, why wouldn't you want to be here? Why would you want to do something else if you have the opportunity to come and show your gratitude and your love to God for what He's done for you. If your child was sick or had an accident and was hurt, would you say, "Well, you can't prove I have to help them"? Would that be your attitude? No, if you love a child, you want to help. You want to be involved. You have an automatic reaction that you understand that that is something that you should want to do for your child. And the same thing is true for if you love God. When we love God, of course we want to praise Him. Of course we want to worship Him. We ought to want to be here. And if we don't, we've got a lack of appreciation for what God has done for us. Look at Romans chapter 1 and in verse 21, please. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Notice how failing to glorify God is tied to failing to be thankful. They go together. If we're thankful to God, then we glorify God. Of course. We're going to show our appreciation by praising and honoring God. And so a person who chooses to do something other than worship God, when they're given the opportunity by the local church, if they could be here and they simply choose not to, at the root of the problem, for one thing, is a lack of gratitude. It's a lack of appreciation for what God has done. Because if we had that appreciation, we'd want to give thanks. And ingratitude is a sign of serious spiritual problems. And that's what the passage is saying in Romans chapter 1, that this is the beginning of apostasy, of departure. But we don't appreciate God enough to want to give Him glory. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 tells us that if we truly appreciate God and what He's done for us, then we want to express our thankfulness in praise and worship. That's how we show our thankfulness to God, is we worship Him and we praise Him. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "God has chosen us as His own special people that we might proclaim His praises." We are God's people, not just so that we can go to heaven, not just so that we can enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. We're His people so that we can proclaim His praises, so that we can tell other people about the great and wonderful things God has done for us. And that's what we do here. Yes, we should do it other times and other places, but surely this is an opportunity the church is giving us to proclaim those praises. We are God's people so that we can do that. The scripture reading in Psalm 119 and other passages as well talk about meditating on the Word of God because we delight in it. And because we love the Word of God. And that was emphasized a number of times in the scripture reading. And that's exactly how we ought to feel about it. Our desire to study the Word of God and learn it should be something that we want to do. That we just appreciate the value of it. Not something that somebody has to twist our arm to get us to do it, but that we see the need for it. Psalm 122 and verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Is that how you feel about it? It ought to be. Glad for the opportunity. And not just on Sunday morning. If I'm really glad, then I should be glad on Sunday evening, shouldn't I? I should be glad for the Bible study on Sunday morning and the Bible study on Wednesday night. And I should be glad for the opportunities of this gospel meeting. I should be looking forward to this meeting and not saying, "Oh no, not another meeting." But I should look forward to it as an opportunity to participate and worship God and praise Him. That's the attitude we'll have when we really learn to love God and appreciate what He's done for us. Proper worship comes from proper attitudes. And if we've got this attitude of appreciation and love for God, then of course we're going to want to be here. We wouldn't want to be anyplace else. So that's the first reason that I suggest why we need to be here when the church meets to worship and praise God, and that is because God wants us to do that, and we should want to do it. But the second reason is because we need to learn the Word of God, and we should want to help other people learn the Word of God. Every Christian needs to be taught the Word of God, and every Christian should want to help other people learn the Word of God. Matthew 5 and verse 6, Jesus says that we are blessed if we hunger and thirst after righteousness. That should be our attitude. We have a burning, urgent need to be right before God, but we can only be right before God when we know His will. And so look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called the day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need encouragement on a regular basis. The passage says exhort one another daily so that we don't fall away, so that we don't become hardened by sin, we don't be overcome by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin can lead us astray. Sin can lead us to think we're okay when we're not right with God, when we're in sin, when we're not dedicated and we're not serving Him like we can. We can be led astray to think we're okay. What does it take to help us avoid those kinds of attitudes? We need encouragement. We need exhortation. We need one another encouraging one another. And some of this can be done outside the assemblies of the church. But the Bible has given us instruction to meet together to do it. And we're not just talking 1 hour a week. Notice he talks about we need this regularly, the passage says. Not just on Sunday morning for an hour. We need it regularly. And that's why the congregation has other assemblies as well. And I assure you that when people do not come to attend the assemblies of the church regularly, they're going to be neglecting other aspects of their service to God in their daily lives as well. It just goes hand in hand. Because if we really care about God and about our need to learn His will, we'll see the value of being here. And we'll be here. So Hebrews 5 and verse 12 then tells us that we need then to teach other people. We need to be exhorting one another. So we need exhortation, but we also need to be exhorting others. We need to do this effort for other people. And if we're not at the point of maturity yet as Christians, now that we're able to teach, we need to be learning and growing so that we can teach. The time comes, the passage says, when we ought to be teachers. It's expected of all of us. Young, old, women, men, all of us need to learn to teach. We have to do it according to God's Word, but we have to learn how to do this. And so 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 tells us that we should comfort and edify or build up one another. We do this for one another. We need to be built up. But we need to be building up others as well. It's a mutual responsibility. And what the local church is doing then, with meetings like this, in our Bible classes Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and with this special series of studies in a few weeks with Brother Jesse Flowers, what the church is doing is giving us an opportunity to do that. And we need to look at that as that's what it is. This is an opportunity the church is giving us to fulfill this need of studying and learning. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. That's what the church exists for, is to give us opportunities to learn and teach the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in a number of verses, we see the church there in Corinth assembling together to do this very thing, to edify one another and to teach one another. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. But our responsibility is to participate. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So here we see that we grow as Christians by speaking the truth in love. In other words, I speak it to you and you speak it to me, we speak it to one another, we help the congregation be edified. We help the church to grow. But how many of us should participate in that? The passage says every part of the body, every joint, and every part must do its share. Everybody has a responsibility in this work of learning and teaching and edifying and encouraging one another. We all need to participate, and so we all need to be here to participate. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He starts off talking, as he has throughout the book of Hebrews, that we need to hold fast our faith. Don't fall away, don't waver, but maintain the confession of our hope. And then he says, To do this, we need one another. We need to be considering one another to stir up love and good works. And one way and one circumstance that he especially emphasizes here to do this is when we assemble together. We're exhorting one another. That's what we're doing here. We're exhorting one another. We're stirring up love and good works. We're encouraging one another to be faithful. Why do we need to be here? Because we all need that exhortation. That's what we learned in all these passages back to Hebrews chapter 3. That we need to be exhorted and to exhort one another so that we remain faithful, that we hold fast. We do that when we're assembled together, when the church meets. And so, of course, we need to be here. And that's why he says, don't be like folks who neglect these opportunities. Make use of the opportunities to be here. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 talks about the responsibility of the elders. Those who rule, those who lead in the local congregation, are to watch on behalf of the souls of the members. Now, the passages show that this means that they're to see to it that the flock gets fed, that the flock receives the instruction that they need. But the passage also in Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says that the members are supposed to obey and submit to the elders. And that simply means when the elders are making arrangements for our spiritual needs to be met, we need to cooperate. We need to be part of the group and follow their lead. Now, one way that the church is authorized for the congregation under its scriptural leaders to provide for the needs of the members to study and learn is in our assemblies. And so the congregation, led by its scriptural leaders, is authorized to arrange whatever meetings we need to fulfill this need for study and learning. Yes, we must have certainly at least one assembly on each first day of the week because we are commanded to have the Lord's Supper and the collection on the first day of the week. But that's not the extent of the responsibility of the church. The responsibility of the church extends beyond the Lord's Supper and the collection. It extends to the teaching and the edification that needs to be done. And that is a regular thing. It's more than just a few minutes on a Sunday morning. And so the congregation is authorized as part of its work of providing for the needs of the members to be taught and learned to have whatever meetings the leaders of the congregation believe we need to have to meet the need. That's part of our work. Just like when the Lord said to have the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, the church is authorized to decide when and where to do that. The Bible doesn't specifically say when or where, but we have to make those kind of decisions. In the same way, the Bible teaches the local church to arrange to meet the need of the members to be taught and to learn the Word of God. And the Bible doesn't specify exactly how often or how long or how many hours a week we do that. So the leaders must make those decisions. But once those decisions are made, and in this congregation, the decisions have been made to meet at 9:30 Sunday morning for Bible class and 10:30 Sunday for worship and 6 o'clock Sunday night for worship and Wednesday night 7:30 for Bible study, and in a few weeks, every night of the week, for a special series of studies, when the church makes those kind of decisions, then if we're going to submit and be a part of the work and participate in the work, we need to be here. That's just the congregation doing its work and our part in participating in that work. And so a second reason then, why you need to be here, whenever the church meets, if you can possibly arrange your schedule, is to learn the Word of God and to help the others learn the Word of God. And we should appreciate those opportunities and participate. But there are other reasons why we need to be here whenever the church meets. A third reason is that we can be a good example to other people. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit and faith and purity. You need to be here when the church meets for your benefit. You need what happens here. But you also need to be here for the benefit of the effect that you can have on other people. Surely we understand that there are people in the community, they need to come and learn the gospel and be saved. There are new converts, they certainly need to be here whenever the church meets so that they can study and grow and learn. Our children, our young people, they need to be teaching. But we need to understand that people around us often decide how serious they need to be in their attendance by looking at us. If they come to a meeting and they see that people who are enthusiastic and recognize their need to be here, every time the church meets, they begin to say, well, I need to do that then too. Apparently that's what's expected of me as a Christian. But if they see people that are hit and miss and they come when they can and they stay home when they feel like it, they're going to come to the conclusion that attendance isn't all that important. Our attendance, or lack of attendance, becomes a very important influence in showing other people the importance of what we do here. So the question for you and for me then is, if other people look at your example and imitate your example, are they going to be attending regularly enough to be faithful to God and to learn the Word of God and receive eternal life? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When other people look at your life, and in particular your attendance, and how diligent you are, how concerned you are about worshiping God and studying, will they be led to glorify God by your life? Or in Matthew 18 and verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, it's better to be drowned in the depths of the sea with a millstone around your neck than to cause somebody else to sin and fall away. If some new member in the congregation, somebody just been converted, were to come to you and ask you, should I attend all the services of the church? Would you tell them, no, you don't need to come. It's not that important. Is that what you'd say? Surely you wouldn't say that because you know they need that. But what is your life saying? Is your life saying that it's important? Is your example showing them that they need to be here? Or, if they imitated your example, would they not attend like they should, not grow as a Christian, and maybe be lost? Jesus said you'd be better off drowned in the depth of the sea with a millstone around your neck than to have that kind of effect on somebody else. It has to lead them into sin. How much better to be able to face God in the day of judgment, knowing that you've done the very best that you could by your example to encourage people to worship God and encourage them to come and learn the message of God's Word. If everybody followed your example in attendance, would they learn the truth? And would they receive the encouragement that they need to be faithful and receive eternal life at the day of judgment? But there's especially an emphasis that we as adults have to set a good example for our children, to encourage our young people to learn that they need to be here, to understand the importance. We have a responsibility as parents to train our children up in the way God wants them to go. And we understand that children are often very much influenced by the example of their parents. And far too often, there are members of the church who in their younger years when their children are home and young are negligent in their attendance. They don't participate in the work of the church like they should. They don't attend. They're not active and involved. But in their later years, they come closer to the end of their life. They realize the need to get serious about their service to God. But now it's too late for their children. The parents get their lives straightened out. They put their service to God first. But all those years of negligence and indifference have built up an example to their children that their children don't ever become faithful. Let me read a little poem to you that I saw a number of years ago. It's called As the Twig is Bent. A little girl with golden curls, her happy face aglow, said, it's time for Bible class. Please, Daddy, won't you go? They teach us there of Jesus' love and how He died for all and how He wants to save the ones who listen to His call. Oh, no, said Daddy, not today. I've worked hard all week and I must have one day of rest. I'm going to the creek. For there I can relax and rest, and fishing's fine, they say, so run along, don't bother me. We'll worship God someday. Later on, when years have passed and Dad's life is almost through, he finds the time to worship God. But what does daughter do? She says, oh, Daddy, not today. I stayed up most all night, and I've just got to have some sleep. Besides, I look a fright. Then Daddy lifts a trembling hand to brush away his tears, and hears that childhood voice again, distinctly, through the years. As a little girl with golden curls, her happy face aglow, said, "It's time for Bible class. Please, Daddy, won't you go?" What about your influence? What about mine? Are we influencing people to the Lord by our attendance and our concern for worship and Bible study? Or are we driving people away? What is our influence? What is your influence? But there are other reasons to participate in the assemblies of the church. Another reason why we need to be here is to imitate good examples. Not just to be a good example, but to imitate others who've set a good example for us. Jesus and his faithful disciples. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." The apostles taught us by their example, not just by what they said in their sermons and in their writings, but in their example. Just like we've learned that we should be a good example, Jesus told the apostles to set a good example for us. Paul said we're to imitate that example. Think about Paul. Suppose the Apostle Paul was a member of this congregation. Where do you suppose he would be right now if he could possibly make arrangements to be here? Would he be here? Would he have been here for our Bible class this morning? Would he be here tonight at 6 o'clock? Wednesday night at 7:30? What about this gospel meeting? If the Apostle Paul was a member of this congregation, and he could at all make arrangements to be here, would he be here every time in that meeting? You know the answer, don't you? I don't have to answer it for you. Everybody knows where he'd be. Now, he said for us to imitate him. He's setting that example. And it's not just him. What about elders and preachers? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 says that we're also supposed to imitate those who rule and who teach the Word of God. That's the rulers or the elders, preachers and teachers. We're supposed to imitate them as well. Suppose we had an elder in the congregation who was known to neglect the meetings of the church when he could come here. He just chose to do something else. Would you consider him to be qualified as an elder? Suppose a gospel preacher. And I've used this example with us. Suppose you come here tonight. And you see I'm not here. And you say, "Where's Dave?" "Ah, well, there was a football game he wanted to watch. So he stayed home." How much longer do you suppose you folks would support me? You know better than that, don't you? You know that elders and preachers and Bible class teachers ought to be here. But Hebrews 13 verse 7 says we should all imitate those folks. If that's the kind of life they should live, we're supposed to be imitating that. It doesn't mean that they have a responsibility to be here and we don't. We're supposed to imitate that example. We're supposed to try to be like them. And what about 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21? What about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Here's the ultimate example. The passage says you and I should walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. Let me ask the question again. If Jesus Christ was in town, in this area, and lived in this area, when this congregation was meeting to worship God and study His Word, where would Jesus be? If He could all arrange His schedule, would He be here or would He choose to be someplace else? You know the answer, don't you? You know where He'd be. You know where He'd be every time that we meet. You know where He'd be during this gospel meeting. Because we know His life. We know how dedicated He was to worshiping God. We know how dedicated He was to teaching the gospel. He would be here. 1 Peter 2 says, walk in His steps. Imitate him. If we imitate those who we know are dedicated and devout in service to God, then we'll see the need to be here, won't we? Which leads me to the next point, and that is, the truth is, we need to be here to do what we know is the right thing to do. I suppose that there might be some members of the Lord's church who really don't understand the importance of attendance, but I'm convinced in our hearts everybody knows they really ought to be here. I'm convinced we really know it. And let me give you some ways that I'm convinced that we know it. Think about our songs. Think about how many times we sing in our songs about the importance of praising God and how I love Jesus and I love to tell the story and the importance of the Bible. Give me the Bible. Songs that we sing over and over again about the importance of Bible study and the importance of praising God. And the importance of, do we believe what we're singing when we sing those songs? And then we hear our prayers over and over again. Bring us back to the next appointed time. Do we really mean what we sing when we sing those songs? Do we mean what we pray when we sing, when we say those prayers? Or is it just vain repetition? Are we just saying things we don't really mean? If we mean it, then we're going to try to be here, aren't we? We know we ought to be here. We know from the activities. And pointed out the fact of expecting other people. We would expect the elders. Of course we would expect the elders to be here whenever they could. Of course we would expect the preacher, the Bible class teacher. We expect them to be here. But the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't have a set of rules for some people and a different set for other members. There's no double standard. If some of us are expected to be here whenever the church is meeting, we should all be here. If we could all have the right to stay home and do other things, how would the work of the church be carried on? Of course we are all supposed to be here, and we understand that. Now what do we call a person? What does the Bible call a person? Who expects other people to do something in service to God that they're not willing to do themselves. They expect other people to live by a higher standard than they're willing to live by. What's the Bible word for that? We know what it is, don't we? That's a hypocrite. If we know other people, other members of the church, ought to attend all the services of the church, but we don't come, what are we? You see, we know, don't we? The truth is, we know what God expects of us. And where would you want to be if the church here, the congregation here was meeting, and at the very time that we're in the meeting, right now, or tonight, or during this gospel meeting, right in the very minute of the meeting, Jesus were to come again? Where would you want to be? Where would you need to be? Would it be okay with you to be out fishing, or attending a ball game, or watching TV? Or would you know that really you needed to be here? But you see, the point is, Jesus is going to judge us for our lives, not just for what we're doing right at the time when He comes, but for all of our lives, everything that we do, isn't He? So shouldn't we be living all the time so we're always acceptable before Him? The truth is, we never know when He may come or when we will die. So we need to live every day in accordance with the will of God. Be honest. Don't you really know that we really all should be here whenever the church meets? Now look at James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Truthfully, in our hearts, we know that serving God and attending church services is good. So shouldn't we, if we really appreciate God and all that He's done, make up our minds to do what He says? Which leads me then to the next point. And that is, we need to be here to worship God, to put God first in our lives. I'm convinced that whether or not people value attendance and participation in the work of the church comes down to a matter of priorities, a matter of what's most important in our lives. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The passage says, don't you know that you don't belong to yourself anymore? Jesus paid a price to buy you. The price He paid was His death on the cross. He bought you from sin. He bought you from the destiny of eternal punishment. and brought you and made you his child of God and destined you for eternal life. Don't you know the price that was paid for you? And if you do, don't you know that you don't belong to yourself anymore? You belong to God. So glorify God in your body. What do we do when we come here? Are we not glorifying God? Isn't that what this is about? Now, I realize that we glorify God in our everyday life too, but that's especially the emphasis of our classes and our studies, to glorify God. If I belong to God and I understand that He bought me with a price, why shouldn't I want to be here to glorify Him? Why would I want to be anyplace else? Can I glorify God more someplace else? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. As Christians, we should present our bodies a living sacrifice to God in His service. But worshiping God is service. This is our service to God. So if my body is a living sacrifice to God, why should I not want to be here to serve and worship God? Of course I want to be here. My life belongs to God. Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said to be His disciples, we must deny ourselves. Not just do what I want to do anymore. Not just live my life the way I want to please and spend my time in the entertainment and the activities that I want to participate in, but give my life to Him. And He goes on and says, if I try to keep my life for myself, I'm going to lose it in eternity. So if I have given my life to God and He's bought me at a price and I've made my life a sacrifice to God, then when the church meets, where should I be? 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5 talks about the Macedonians who first gave themselves to the Lord. If I give myself to God, then how I use my money and my time and my energy is naturally going to be followed. That's the easy part. It starts with giving myself to God. Look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. For a Christian, the most important thing in life, number one, is the kingdom of God, that's the church, and being right with God. Nothing else is as important or more important. Am I putting God first when I, rather than attending the services of the church, I prefer to go to a ball game, a concert, watch TV, go fishing, go on vacation, and don't attend church services? What's first in my life when I make those kind of choices? Am I putting God first in my life when I'd rather spend time with family, friends, or relatives when I could be worshiping God with the local church? Is God first in my life when I'll miss the assemblies of the church to do schoolwork? Or participate in some school function? Or even to make money if I could arrange my schedule to be here? Am I putting God first in my life when I miss the assemblies of the church because I'm sick? Or I lack transportation? But the truth is, under the same circumstances, if I needed to go to work, I'd find a way to do it. Or I need to do something else that was important to me. I'm not too sick to go to work, but I'm too sick to attend church services. What's first in my life then? What are my priorities? You see? If I would make the effort to do something that was really important to me, then if attending the services of the church is really important to me, in fact, if it's number one, I'll be here, won't I? Just as important as being someplace else. And so I say this to me is the key issue in the study. I'm convinced the main reason people do not attend regularly when they could come is that serving God is not the most important thing in life to them. But when you view your life as being totally sacrificed to God, that you belong to Him, of course you see the need to be here when the church is meeting. Why would you want to be anyplace else? You see? It comes down to attitude and priorities. Yes, there are emergencies. Yes, there are times when there are problems, and Jesus talked about the ox being in the ditch. And sometimes people miss church services, and you say, well, we missed your services. Well, the ox was in the ditch, I've heard people say. Well, yeah, the ox could get in the ditch, but what happens when that same old ox keeps getting in that same old ditch? Week after week after week. Isn't it time to either build a fence around the ditch, fill up the ditch, or get rid of the ox? People who put priorities first will arrange their lives to be here when the church meets. And then the last reason, we need to be here to get ready for heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. There's a lot of things about heaven that we don't know, but one thing we do know in heaven is going to be a whole lot of worship and praise to God. That's one of the main activities there. And I'm convinced that one reason some people don't appreciate heaven and don't live their lives in service to God is because they don't really appreciate worship. If we don't appreciate opportunities to worship God in this life, why would we appreciate heaven? Why would we even want to go there? But the truth is, if you'd rather do something other than meet with God's people, if you begrudge the time spent here, why would you even expect that you're going to go to heaven? You see, people who truly love and appreciate God will love and appreciate opportunities to worship and serve Him. Those are the people that are going to enjoy heaven. And those are the people that God's going to take there. So we need to be people that are getting ready for heaven by appreciating and learning to worship God on this earth and serve Him in our everyday lives as we have opportunities. So as we close, the end of the sheet, I've given you a list of questions to ask yourself to evaluate your attendance. Honestly ask yourself with regard to how often and how regularly you are in attending the service of the church. Number one, are you really putting God first? And apply this to this gospel meeting. If you're really putting God first, before your own desires, before your family, before everything else in life, will you be here for this gospel meeting? And would you be here for the regular services of the church? If something happens that you really have to miss, are you sorry? Do you feel bad about that? Or are you kind of glad that you don't have to go now? Would you honestly be fulfilling your duty, your service to God as well by not coming as you would be by coming? Ask yourself that question. If you're trying to decide, well, I've got this other thing, should I do that or should I attend services? Well, are you going to serve, which way are you going to serve God more effectively? If some emergency would come up that would keep you from attending, would that same emergency, that same circumstance, keep you from doing other things that are really important to you in life? Are you seeking to do as much for the Lord as you can, or are you just trying to get by with minimal service? If everybody else, including your family and your loved ones, if they were all to attend like you do and study like you do, would they please God and know the will of God enough to receive eternal life? What would you think about that elder or that preacher if they attend like you do? Is your practice with regard to attendance, is it in harmony with what you sing and pray and what you profess as a Christian? And again, if you knew Jesus was going to come during that worship service, where would you want to be? And finally, what would Jesus do if He was here in your place? Those are some questions that I hope will challenge you and me And as we think about our attendance, what conclusions do you reach about yours? Are you serving God faithfully? Do you need to make some changes? Do you need to improve? Are you even a Christian? Worship is for those who have dedicated their lives to God's service, who've given themselves to God. Are you a Christian? If you're not one, why not to come one this morning? If you're falling away and need our prayers, won't you come and make it known as we stand while we sing?